Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Since I'm going to be opening the word today, is it okay if I pray again? Father in heaven, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and I know that I absolutely need your Holy Spirit, just like anybody else. So I pray that you speak to us today, whatever you have for us from heaven. I ask this in your name, amen. I realized during Sabbath school today that I have absolutely nothing that I can teach you. It was a wonderful Sabbath school on communion. We touched on some points. So I hope that there is still a blessing, even though this church knows almost everything already. The title of the message today is Hide. Because I think we do that. And everything that I'm going to talk to you about today, except about myself, you already know. In the beginning, when God created man, he created them to be holy and happy. Just like it says in Steps to Christ. That purpose never changed. But then something happened. Because Adam and Eve sinned. A funny thing happened. Because when they sinned, and God came walking through the garden, it says his voice came walking through the garden, they hid. That was new to them. I'm not sure that anyone told them to run and hide. I'm just guessing. I don't want to speak out of context of the Bible, but I don't think anyone told them to go hide. It was a new thought and a new feeling. And why do people hide? They're afraid. They don't feel safe. So here's Adam and Eve. They were created to be perfectly holy and happy, and they didn't feel safe with God who had created them that way. They didn't feel safe. But nobody told them that. I want to tell you about something that happened in my life, because when I read that story, like, we've read it so many times that it's become cliche or almost meaningless to us when we read it. Yes, they sinned, they were afraid, la di da di da. And I look at that story and I think, that's not going to happen to me, because if I sin, I'm going to absolutely run to God. Absolutely, right? When you sin, you run to God, right? When I was a senior in high school, I was a resident assistant at a boarding academy, and I had a gentleman that year that was dabbling with evil, with the dark side. And there's really no reason to get into the details of it, but I want you to picture this glass box, because it'll help you understand what I'm going to talk to you about. A glass box with the world inside. And in this glass box, our world is governed by physics, biology, chemistry, etc. We know this, right? So just keep that picture in your mind. I was walking down the hall one evening, and I hear this shrieking. And if any of you have ever heard a woman scream when she's having a baby, I have. I work in a hospital. It was worse than that. And of course, when you hear that, you walk in, right? So I went into the room, and there had been other issues and circumstances that happened before that year. There were things happening in the room that you can't explain with physics. And all I knew what to do was sit down and say, "Dear Jesus." And as soon as Jesus' name had been called upon as it entered into the room, everything in the entire room went silent and everything stopped moving. So I had this experience. So I should be ready to go for the rest of life, right? The rest of life. I had seen the power of God. I had seen God's arm reach into this glass box that's governed by laws of physics, biology, chemistry reach in and really do things that didn't make sense with all those laws. What ended up happening to me, rather than remembering all that God had done and how powerful he was, I was traumatized. I was traumatized emotionally. And I'm sure none of you have emotional issues. I had emotional issues. So what ended up happening is I ended up associating a closer walk with God, closer, with having to see these things that were satanic. The closer I was to God, the more I would have to see Satan. It just made sense in my head, because that was my experience. So I went off to college, still not understanding what a real relationship with God is. And what I did was I went to Walla Walla. I sat with a group of new people every day at lunch. I met the whole school in the first quarter. And I got involved in Bible studies. I really liked seeing other people become closer with God, but I didn't want to get close because I knew it was coming. I knew that if I got too close to God, I would have to see this evil in a very physical form. So I would still do Bible studies, but you get close, but I know what I'm going to have to experience if I get closer. What I realized is that like Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were ashamed, and they had these new thoughts and feelings introduced into their mind, and they hid. I found out that I was ashamed because I didn't have the faith in God that I thought I had. I was ashamed because I couldn't do more for this gentleman that was really relying on Satan. He didn't actually become converted. He actually ended up committing suicide. And I was ashamed because I felt like I didn't do enough. I could have said something more. I should have spent more time with him. All these feelings of shame. And so I realized that because of those feelings of shame, I hid from God for a long time. And how I did it was I busied myself with meeting a lot of people and getting really distracted with people. And then when I started working, I realized that if I wasn't able to meet a whole bunch of people, I could satisfy that need by working a lot. Has anyone experienced that? It was compulsive. I had to meet people, I had to travel, and I had to be learning things. I hid from God. I did the same exact thing that Adam and Eve did, the same thing that I thought was absolutely silly and absurd. They're hiding from God. Why would they do that? I did the same thing. Now we're here at communion. We're going to have communion. And the point of communion is to be with Jesus, to be with God. Does anyone know what the will of God is? Oh, now we're becoming interactive now. Does anyone know what the will of God is? That we can be saved. I want to stay in the context of the Bible. Does anyone know in the Bible like what it says the will of God is? That's the will that you're supposed to have. What is the will of Jesus? I want to read something in John 17. It's verse 24. John 17, verse 24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. It was God's will. It was Jesus' will. It was his desire, his want to be with us. And the thing, we all know that sin separates us from God. And we talk about that verse. Our iniquities separate us. It has a new meaning to me. Sin, yes, it separates us from God. But when I sin and I feel shame and maybe my pride wells up within me, I choose to separate myself from God. I hide from him. And right here in John chapter 17, it says, my will is to be with you. And we will, by not doing his will, we will hide and run from him. At the Last Supper, before the Last Supper, I'm looking in John chapter 13 right now. I want to look at Peter. Starting in verse 4, it starts describing the situation, how Jesus lays aside his robes and takes a towel and girds himself, pours water into the basin like we're going to be doing shortly, and he comes to Simon Peter. And Peter, okay, I know that many of you have read Desire of Ages, so you already know what I'm going to say. But he comes to Peter, and the mere act of a pure and lovely Savior getting down on his knees and washing those dirty feet, he's like, no, you shouldn't be doing this. I should be the one. I should have been the one that grabs the water and is washing everyone's feet. But you're doing it. You shouldn't be doing this. You're my master. You're my savior. And so he's feeling shame. He's feeling shame. And so he says this. What comes after shame? In Adam and Eve's life and in my life, what comes after shame? We go hide. Look at this. In verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, you don't know, you don't understand, but you will know hereafter. Then Peter says to him, you shall never wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet. Every single one of you are here at church today. You could walk out right now. You're not going to walk out right now hiding from Jesus. Peter and those disciples, they weren't going to just run out and hide. He was doing the exact same thing. He was sitting there, and that was the best he could do to hide. He said, you'll never wash my feet. He was, even though they were physically with each other, he was separating himself. He was rejecting Jesus right there, hiding, doing the same exact thing. And that's why I like looking at these passages in a very practical sense, because all of us came today, and whether we're excited about it or not, we know what's going to happen. We're going to sit down, and somebody's going to wash our feet, and we're going to wash their feet. And then we're going to sing songs, and we're going to be happy and live happily ever after. But the point in all of this service was to prepare the hearts of the disciples for service, for complete communion with Jesus Christ. Because they were going to be taking his life and his blood in the very fullest sense, like actually reflecting his character here on earth, being hid in Christ, which I really didn't like that phrase because it was so cliche-ish to me. But when you start breaking these things apart, the cliches, they start not mattering to you as much. They start making more sense. The meaning comes back. We're going to be washing each other's feet very soon. And it's possible that today doesn't have a lot of meaning for you. I spent a lot of my life with communion not having a lot of meaning for me. And it's possible to go through that day again and do that again. But why? Why? Why go through another communion without the most meaningful experience with Jesus? Iniquity separates us from God. If we've been in the church, that is cliche to us. It's very possible. It's very possible that it doesn't react upon our heart very strongly. Iniquity separates us. It's Jesus' will, his desire to be with us. I think it breaks Jesus' heart when we sin. But you know what I think breaks his heart even more? Is that when we sin afterwards, rather than being like, Jesus, I sinned, I need you, I need your blood to cover me, I want my blood to be blotted out, or my sins to be blotted out when the judgment comes, It breaks his heart even more than when the sin happens, when we run and hide. Because he's made a way. He's made a way for us to come back. Like, he came down to the earth. He came down to earth to show us what creation should do, what it can be like with this relationship. And I know he didn't sin, but he told everyone what would happen if there, what, like, when there is sin. And like, the sad thing is, like, when we sin against God and we run and we hide, that's between us and God. But here's the other thing. When a brother or a sister sins against each other, it's not just between you and God then. Like, it's between you and another person. And so what we do is, well, I am hiding not only from God, but in order to avoid this sin, I'm actually going to hide from this person. And we can do an amazing job at compartmentalizing in our brains our sins, so that when I see a brother or sister at church, happy Sabbath, you really don't want to interact with that person because you're hiding. You're hiding. And by engaging in those thoughts, those feelings, those behaviors, we're making communion pointless. We're taking away the meaning of communion. And so what I want to ask us all to do right now, because Jesus wants to be with us, and just before that in John chapter 17, he actually says that they may be one. And the reason that he wants us to be one is because that's the way that people will actually believe that there's a Jesus and that he actually came from heaven. If there's no oneness, then people won't believe, because you and I are hypocrites. And who wants to believe a hypocrite? I don't. That's why I stayed away from Jesus. Another reason, another story, why I stayed away from true religion for so long, because I didn't see an example. I didn't see a person that had that oneness with Jesus. And that's why so many young people are leaving the church. They don't see the example. They're like, this isn't real. You guys are doing communion and all these things, but it's not real. Like, why would I want to do this if it's not real? I want us to spend a little bit of time in prayer, so that the Holy Spirit has time to react upon our hearts. Because the only time that truth really reacts on our heart is when it comes in contact with our heart. Otherwise, it's not really going to come in contact. It's not going to affect us. It can affect us only when it's contacted with our heart. And I want to pray today. I'm going to pray too. This message, I'm not preaching like at you. This is a message I need. This is what has been on my heart. But pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the things, the reasons in your life why you are hiding from God or hiding from another person, so that we can have this oneness. Because otherwise, communion today, it won't have its true meaning. And if after praying you feel impressed to go out on your cell phone and call somebody up or whatever, I mean, I don't know what it is. But the real meaning of communion is no separation from God, clearing everything, preparing our hearts, being cleansed by Jesus Christ. So those that are able to kneel will have some time in prayer, and then I'll close with prayer.